Hey guys, welcome to Listen Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special. You guys, this is the arena where we don't just talk about growth. We talk about why you're still not doing anything with it. Because the truth is, a lot of people know what they need to do. And they've read the books, they've listened to the podcast, they've had the realizations, and then nothing changes. Same patterns, same excuses, same loops, and at some point it's not confusion anymore. It's you're just avoiding. You're avoiding your potential, and God doesn't keep revealing things to you so you can ignore them. He expects the movement. So if you've been aware but you're not taking action, this conversation is going to speak to you. I'm super excited for my guest today. Her energy is contagious. I could just tell you right now. Her name is Lizzie Siegel. She is a coach who doesn't help you understand your patterns. She helps you stop hiding from them. Lizzie, thank you so much for coming into the hot seat today. I launch everybody from the same question, which she already got. She already got some questions, but this is the show questions. I want your elevator pitch. Who are you? What do you do? What makes you special, darling?
Thank you so much for the question. Thank you for having me. I am Lizzie Siegel, and I am a resource and reality architect and a global grid worker. What makes me special is me. I get to be here in this human form, living the life that I truly always dreamed of. We get to create our reality, and I came in remembering that. And I forgot, as per the agreement, for quite a long time. And I had the beautiful blessing of waking up in this life to remember that. And now it is my joy, my delight, my highest passion to follow my excitement, to follow what lights me up, and to show others and share with others that that is possible for them too. I have this beautiful way of hearing truth in people's words, so that it allows me to guide them on a journey to reveal the subconscious patterns and beliefs and the identities that are looping and keeping them stuck. And instead of going along with that story with them, I hold up a really loving, supportive mirror and I allow them to sit in that stillness and that silence with themselves and with me holding that space for them so they can really reveal the truth of who they are and take inspired and aligned action in the direction of their actual desires.
Yeah, I love that. You work with people who are already aware. And I think that there are probably more people aware than I give credit to. Why do you think they are still stuck?
The simple answer is that they're pretending they don't know. It's part of the game. It's
Okay,
part of this
that's good.
joyful journey we came to play. And, I had a friend who recently told me, I kind of like the drama. And I laughed at that. And I was like, good point. And that is why we do it. We like the drama. We are here playing this play of life. And so we pretend that we don't know when really we do know. And also, then there's that part where people aren't pretending, they've actually forgotten again. They've fallen back asleep in the waking life, and they really are stuck according to their perceptions and their current perspective. And so that can be a really very real experience.
What is really happening in that space between the knowing and the doing in that specific gap?
It's a tug of war with the heart and the soul. It is literally forgetting your creative power and your focus because you go one way and you focus in the direction of what you want for a second. And then a millisecond later, you switch back to doubt, truth, doubt, truth, doubt, truth, doubt. And you can see that you're not going to get anywhere. You're just going to be tug of war.
No, I definitely see that. And the tug of war, I mean, I think even in my experience of being an awake participant in my life to stepping into that co-creator experience, there's still times on different things that I feel like I fall into that gap. And it's so I feel like healing, right, is not linear, and neither is really waking up, because I think there's different parts of my day where I'm just like, wow, I really zoned out there. Like, what's going on? Where are we going with this? I think that happens a lot. What do you think is the most common lie that people are telling themselves?
That they need to keep healing, that there's something wrong with them. That they're not perfect. You even hear that phrase, oh, it's perfectly imperfect. There is literally no such thing as imperfect. Everything is perfect in the exact moment because it's perfect for that moment. If we believe that we are broken, if we believe there's something to fix, if there's something wrong with us, we will create that experience. When we remember our wholeness, remember who we are, that we are a divine fractal of the infinite source, God, universe, whatever you want to call it. And God chose me, chose you, chose every
Specifically.
individual and everything specifically to express that fractal of frequency through us in our unique flavor with all of our beautiful quirks, our stories, our experiences, like as if that's not perfect. Creation doesn't make mistakes. And to think that we would be the only one that creation made a mistake about, that's actually kind of ridiculous because we are part of the
Arrogant.
whole. And if I may give this beautiful analogy, think about the creator who's made this beautiful puzzle and they have this whole picture that they want to see. They've made this 3D puzzle filled with all the edges and all the sides and all the print on the picture space. And there is one little puzzle piece that needs to get in that puzzle to complete it. And you're like, oh no, not me. As a sorry creator, from my perspective, I am not worthy. And the creator's like, yo. Get in here. I made this whole thing and I need you in here to complete it with all your little divots, all your little edges. You need to be in here. And all the other puzzle pieces are like, we need you. Come in here. And you're like, not me. I'm not worthy. Are you kidding?
I love that. That's beautifully said. And it is true. I think it's to almost arrogant, really, to think that you're not a part of this and that it doesn't matter. And I think that, I'm tough on my audience, right? My first show, my Listen Bitch show is pretty abrasive, but it's out of love. It's that frustration of like, I want to shake people awake, right? Like, why do you think your story doesn't matter? Nobody can live your life experience. And I think just embracing that uniqueness, I think it's almost selfish when people just stay dumbed down and people just stay ignorant to the truth. And I mean, there's so many people that can be touched by one person saying, all right, I'm going to handle this. And I love what you're saying about, we're not broken. How do you fill that gap between, like, I know I'm not broken, but forever I'm going to be working on shit. Like, I want to grow, I want to evolve. And for me to be the best person I can be every single day, that's going to take movement. And hurts are going to come up all the time, like, my gosh, I heal my mom trauma, right? I think I'm over it. I think I'm good. I go to this next phase in life and I'm like, why am I crying about this again? Like, I thought I was over it, but like every version of myself has to face that trauma. Like every time I grow, it's going to be that, like, hey, and it's not even a big deal. Like, I love it. I embrace it. I'm thankful for it. That's part of it too. So how do you embrace that gap of like, you're not broken, but also like, you don't get to stay where you are.
The way you phrase that and the story that you shared with it is so beautiful because it really lends to this whole idea. You aren't broken, and you're always going to be on a journey because this life is a never-ending journey. When we can shift, that expression exists for a reason. When we change the way we look at things, the things that we look at change. And if anybody keeps creating an experience in their reality that they're like, I thought I dealt with this. I thought I handled it. And it's showing up in the next level. So I love to think of life as a video game. And when you get to the next level, it's inclusive. There's more of the same bad guys. There's more of the same tricks. There's more of the same. I don't really play that many video games, but you get the idea, where there's another boss to beat. And that boss will have flavors of the last boss, because you have mastered that level and you already know how to beat that. However, if you keep saying, like, seeing the same thing, then what it's really pointing at as you actually haven't gotten to the subconscious root or the heart of the matter. And there is still something within you asking to really be illuminated and integrated. There is a shadow aspect that hasn't yet seen the light, because that's why we keep recreating it until we receive that healing on it, meaning we integrate it into the whole and we realize it was never a bad part, so we don't need to keep battling it because there's nothing wrong with it. And it gets to exist. And that's when we actually stop seeing that same trauma show up, or that same shadow show up, or that same pattern. We know a pattern is gone. We know a trauma, a stress, an experience has finally been released when we no longer interact with it in our reality. And that's the true knowingness of how this game works, because it's a reflection of what's going on in here. It shows us beautifully.
Yeah, I love that. I love the way you said that. What does taking full responsibility actually require?
Oh, so the first thing, and I think the thing that most people actually miss, is grace. And that grace applies to everybody, including you. If we do not have grace and compassion for the self, we're not truly being graceful or compassionate or gracious. Graciousness means considering the self. It means having the same consideration for everybody else as we do for ourselves, and vice versa. So if we still have shame, we do not have grace. And when we can allow ourselves to experience grace that is freely given to all beings everywhere, through all timelines, dimensions, and planes of existence, then that allows us to dissolve the idea, even the concept of limitation. And we actually see the limitations that we once perceived to be a bad thing as the launch pads for our liberation, because it's that edge that we brush up against, and we get to move now beyond it because we've dissolved it. So, having grace for the self.
Yeah, I love that. And absolutely enough, people do not have grace for themselves. Where are you seeing people try to hack the look for the cheat code where they're trying to bypass real change?
It's in this idea of responsibility, but really what it is another layer of shame, blame, judgment, guilt, doubt. They have very, it's like wearing a mask. It's like spirituality dressed up in a toga with some kind of mask on, saying, I've taken full responsibility for my life, but you haven't really, because now you're just blaming, shaming, and judging yourself. So again, you're not extending that grace and compassion to yourself. You're saying, okay, it's all on me. I've taken all this on, but it's not all on you. There's the universe and universal forces to support you, and it's not meant to be all on you. That's why we do healing in relationships, because we can be fine and untouched and untriggered by the self, but until we get into a situation where there is an outside force, outside, you know what I mean? Another that we're interacting with, that's when we see, oh, really, have I managed this? Have I navigated it? And then we can go back into blaming or victiming or whatever that is. So taking real ownership, responsibility, meaning the ability to respond, not having to take everything on yourself and now it's all on you. Very different frequencies, same words, distortions, and it's things that we've been conditioned to believe are what they mean, but it's not really what they mean at their essence. And the English language is fascinating. When we break words down into their essence, like for example, belonging, it is the longingness to simply be.
Be, yeah.
And when we allow ourselves to belong first and foremost to the self, then we no longer have to belong to anybody else. It's nobody else's job to do that for us or to make us feel that way. We make ourselves feel the way we choose to feel. We choose to feel. And when we become empowered and awake in our choices, sure, you might have a moment of humanness because that's what we came here for, this game. But it's how quickly do you come back to center, back to self, back to your heart's home, and remember who you are.
I love that. And that's the whole game, right? Just remember who you are, really. It's like that easy. Why do you think people try to bypass the real change? Or
They have a perception.
what space, I think, where is probably the better question. Like, where are they trying to bypass that change?
Where? In the discomfort. Anywhere where there is discomfort, that is where the bypassing happens. Because as humans, we have been programmed and conditioned to believe that the unknown is something to fear, that there is pain, there is suffering, there is something bad going to happen in the unknown. However, when we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, and I use my words so carefully, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that all we're ever going to find in the unknown is more of ourselves, then it dissolves the fear. And we can see fear for what it is, false evidence appearing real. And we have the full assurance in the heart, which is faith, that allows us to move in the direction of our desires, our intuition, our heart's home, because our intuition is connected to that faith. And we don't have to wonder and worry. So, in the unknown, seek discomfort, move towards it. Let that be the signal that you're close to dissolving a limiting belief. It's like a kid in the candy store. When do they take the biggest temper tantrum? Right before their parents going to leave the candy store without them getting the candy. They know that's the time to kick up a fuss because I want that candy bar. The same thing is true for fear. It gets the loudest right before it's about to be totally exposed and dissolved because it thinks it's going to die, but it's not going to be a it's not going to die. We simply get to see that's a choice, so is the opposite. And when we stand in the power of the paradox, we get to choose and let fear know it's okay, you can just be here. And I'm still going to move this way.
I love that. Lizzie, I'm going to shift gears a little bit before I finish with the questions that I think would be good for the audience. I want to know your origin story because you can't know healing if you haven't been through the process, and you can't know, the love and help people without the pain. So what is your launching point? Your mess, because that's the essence of the show, right? Like, your mess is your message. There's something you're going through that you're trying to stay hidden. You're trying to keep it. We keep it in the shame box. We do all these things, but like, what launched you into this?
Oh, man, there's so many moments, really, and a few key moments. And it's so beautiful that you asked it that way because I had this conversation with my mom the other day. And I said, you know, it's brilliant on the surface being the golden child. It is. But it also meant that I couldn't be human, that I couldn't be real, that I couldn't. Like she, because she said something, she was like, in public, you were all so cute and lovely, and everybody doted on you, and you would get home and you'd be a little terror. And I was like, yeah, because I had to put on this mask when I went out in public. And when I got home, I got to just dissolve into, why do I have to perform?
Safety,
And there were so many moments along the way, but a lot of it was, and this is a part of my story I, dare I say, I don't think I've actually ever shared. I used to have so much bottled up emotion and not have anybody to share it with or say it to that I would inflict that pain on myself because I couldn't put more on other people because they had other stuff to manage. And so I had to navigate me and I didn't know how to navigate me. So I would self-harm. I would be really terrible to myself. There were so many really challenging things that I did, and I thought it was all my fault, the stuff that was going on in my life. And my parents had a really messy divorce, and I blamed myself for so much of it. And so there was a lot of hurt, there was a lot of shame, there was a lot of hiding and just pretending in so many aspects. And still hiding a lot of my life from really the world. And I did that well into my 30s, to be honest. And it wasn't until there were so many accidents, injuries, signs from the universe of like, we will save you every single time, but you got to wake up again, that there was a series of awakenings that got me to here.
I love that. And I think that's what makes your work relatable. If people know, like, look, I was experiencing this, but I do think, it's just your personality. Like, you want to keep everybody feeling good, and you want to spread this amazing feeling. So of course, even as a kid, you're going to protect everybody and you're going to carry all that to yourself. And I think anyone listening right now could probably, there's someone that definitely would relate to that, where they're just kind of hurting themselves because they have no outlet. And it's how you can feel, just any kind of release or any kind of something to take the focus off the internal pain. Thank you for sharing that. What is I guess what is something that other people just don't want to admit about themselves?
That they're more powerful than they think they are.
You think they know that and they just can't admit it.
You know, if we will allow ourselves to be really truthful and honest and see that we created all of, so people are actually really okay with being like, I created that when it's a good thing. But when it's a bad thing, they're like, that's not on me, that's on somebody else. So when you can bring them to this moment of realization, realization, seeing something with your real eyes for the first time, then you can also go, okay, well, if I created the good thing, oh, gotta take that responsibility. I did create the bad thing, bad, quote, quote. So then if I created it all, well, now, again, with no shame, blame, or judgment, because when you're unaware of it, it's not your fault. But when you know better, then you can do better. And knowing is synonymous with action. And so if you cognitively comprehend something, but you're not taking action, it means you don't really know it yet. You're still figuring it out, still processing. And that's okay. That, again, no shame. But can you move beyond this, I'm getting ready to understand, to truly knowing, embodying and living the way you want. And that comes with knowing your own power and acknowledging it, accepting it, and then allowing it to flow through you with intention in the direction of your desires. So we got to stop being like lazy or sloppy or just unintentional. And that requires work. And people think that this is like, you don't have to do work. No, it gets to be easy. But you still have to put in effort. And that gets to be a beautiful, joyful journey of challenges instead of problems.
That's I love that. And then I'm also like, yeah, I'm still in the arena and I don't always enjoy it. I don't always enjoy it, but it's necessary. So, do I keep doing it? Yes, because I know it's worth it. Like, at the end of this, is it going to be worth it? You know, the season I am, like, I eat the same food every single day. I'm in a calorie deficit, but trying to hit the protein and just ready for my physical body to represent, you know, something that matters, right? Because I think that matters. And yeah, do I enjoy that? No, I'm not having a great time. I'm so tired of ground beef and rice. Like, it's not even funny. Am I having a great time? No, but do I know that this is the work it's going to take to get where I want to be? Yeah, I'll do it kicking and screaming and I'll complain all the time, but I'm still damn doing it. So I'm going to say doing the work is so important. I love that. And there should be joy in it at some point, you know? What does follow through look like here when you're doing the work?
Follow through doesn't actually look as big as what most people think. And it's also the part that people will say, oh, I don't know what I should do, and then start avoiding it. And it makes me, as from this perspective, giggle because I'm like, ah, you're so silly because of course you know. And let me just remind you and nudge you along the journey. It looks like taking an inspired and aligned action, which is so different than doing what you think you should do and forcing yourself to be disciplined, forcing yourself to be, and like essentially punishing yourself because there's nothing wrong with like devotion, but devotion and discipline are very different frequencies. When you're devoted to something, it comes from your heart. You're doing it with love. When you're disciplined, you are trying to put yourself in a straight line. And you are doing it for love. You're trying to get something as a result. And often, when we put our expectations on the outcome, guess what? It doesn't really happen because we're so attached to the outcome that we're not enjoying the process. And the process was the journey. So, what it looks like is taking one inspired and aligned action. And that usually comes from this intuitive nudge or something that somebody said, and I can pick out that frequency again because I can hear it. And it might sound totally unrelated. Like I had somebody who was up leveling their business and they were like totally shifting their life. And they were like, well, I don't know if this is it, but I have this gift certificate to a really fancy restaurant that I've been given. And I haven't even been allowing myself to enjoy that. And I'm like, there's your thing. Use that. And that set off. And so the first step was her actually phoning to make the reservation. Well, talking to her husband, phoning to make the reservation, and then going. And I reminded her, there might be something that comes up in the in-between where it's like, ooh, you should probably do this instead of go. It is so important that you follow through and you go to that restaurant and that you go and you have the experience because it will shift your frequency. And truth be told, everything shifted for her. More aligned clients started coming in, people that she just reached out and made an offer to and was like in for the year, like all these little things, because it was that inspired piece of action to change and signal to the mirrorverse, hey, look, I know I've changed. I don't need my outer world to change. I'm doing the thing that I said I was going to do. I hold me accountable, and I held her accountable, and I love me enough to take this action.
Yeah, I love that answer. And we are coming up on our time, so I have one last question for you. In this whole human experience, because we are humanness. So in our humanness, in your humanness, what is something that you actually still catch yourself doing that you know better than to do?
Just one thing. I'm still so human. There are things. Part of it is catching myself in moments of worry with scarcity. It could be with time. It can be with money. It's not too often with money anymore, but with time, with money, with the ability to create as if I haven't already created everything else. And feeling that overwhelming sense of doubt that will still creep in because I am human. And then it's that doubt when you get stuck there a little longer than you like that I'm like, self-compassion. Talk to myself like I would my clients, talk to myself like I would a child, talk to myself like I would like an old person, and bringing myself back to, okay, cool. Instead of being shameful about this, can I just get curious, and can I just love on that part of me more and see that trigger or whatever's going on as that sign that I get to overcome this?
Thank you for sharing that because I think that's a great gift for the listeners when they see someone who has it figured out that is making sense of things to just still see that they're human. Like we're in the arena. Nothing changes that. It doesn't matter how big businesses grow or how many listeners we have or how many books we sell. It doesn't matter. Like we're still in the arena. So thank you for giving them that gift. How can people get resourced with you? Where can they find you?
My website is my name, www.lizzysiegel.com. On Instagram, I am Lizzie Namaste Plant Based, and I have my podcast that's on pause right now, but it's Hearts Home with Lizzie. And I'm also on YouTube, and you can watch my podcast there.
Perfect. Lizzie, this is the part of the show where, for what it's worth, I get to tell you what I think makes you special. It's not just who you are. It's not just that you help people become aware. It's that you don't let them hide there. You took the thing that you suffered from and you found a way to turn it into healing for other people. You take away the comfort of knowing but not doing. And being able to hold people in that moment where they have to decide, you know, am I actually going to change or am I going to keep pretending? That's uncomfortable, but it is so beautifully necessary. And I commend the work you're doing. I'm actually really glad you said you already have a podcast because the whole time I'm like, she needs her own show. So the pause thing, we need to talk about that later. Okay. But I think that's what makes you special. I think you've really stepped into your gift and you've used the things that most people use as excuses. You use that as your launching pad. To everyone listening, you guys, you already know more than you're acting on. Okay, so let's be honest, that thing you keep thinking about, that shift you keep avoiding, the decision you keep putting off, it's not confusion. That's fear, that's comfort, and that's you choosing the same life. And God didn't give you clarity so you could sit on it. He gave it to you so you would move more. So I'm saying just get radically honest with yourself about one thing today and remember that your mess is your message. Okay. Even the patterns, even the avoidance, even the times you knew better and didn't do it, that's where your authority gets built. If this episode spoke to you there, please share the show. Okay. Leave a review. Make sure you share it out though. It's a very selfless thing because you know someone that Lizzie will never be able to reach that really needs to hear her message today. So whether or not it resonated with you, let's make sure that everybody has a chance to hear it. And we need your help to do that. And if you guys are ready for the hot seat, you know, come tell me why you're special. Lizzie, thank you for your time. This was a great conversation.
Thank you so much for having me, and
Of
thank you
course.
for those kind words
Of
that
course.
my heart.